Wow.
W-freaking-T-F. W-freaking-T-F. That's the theme of the show today. I won't even tell you. Finally. All I can say is finally. Finally, tomorrow will end the insanity at the pace that the insanity has moved. Yes. What possibly can a person do to maintain sanity? There are people in this world whose only purpose in life is to antagonize and hassle innocent people. So, as one of those people, I'm going to hassle and antagonize Aaron William Freeland when given the opportunity. And that opportunity will present itself momentarily. Aaron called me today. I noticed. I haven't even looked at my phone today. If I tell you that and you don't believe me, shame on you, because it's the truth. And I don't know. I don't even know what's going on in the world. What's going on in the world? Is anything happening? Well, maybe he was calling to say he couldn't be available. My goodness, that could be it.
Hello, we are not available now. Please leave your name and phone number after the beep. We will return your call.
Hello, Aaron. This is Frank calling. Live and on the air. And unfortunately, you don't seem to be prepared to talk on the show. You've abandoned me. You terrible human being. You unreliable, what nasty word could I use? That's his answer machine. It doesn't matter. It'll run out. It doesn't matter. Just won't hear what I said. Okay, so we have to hang up on Aaron's answering machine. Now, there's another way to talk to Aaron. We'll see if we can catch him on that one. Let's see here. Oh, no. Took out a number. I can't take out a number. You know, this thing doesn't like parentheses. Yeah, that'll work.
Hello, Aaron speaking.
Hello, Aaron speaking.
How are you, Frank?
I'm good. You didn't answer your phone.
I just did. I just saw it flashing at me now.
Do you want me to call you on that number?
Yeah, you'll have to give me a call on this number because I'm at Michelle's place.
Oh.
Which is why I sent you a couple texts today just to let you know that I wasn't at home and you'd have to call me on myself.
Oh, okay. Well, then I did the right thing the second time.
Yes, you did.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Michelle. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. I was just wondering.
Yes, sir.
I forgot what I was wondering about.
Favorite
Wait a
reunion
second.
Has a certain...
It's coming back to me. Like a boomerang. Hitting me square in the head. I have to say that today I was working around the house. I've got one day left. I've got the family. The Insanity Asylum will arrive here tomorrow, beginning at 3 p.m.
Oh,
I will have precocious amounts of old people here. All of them part of my bloodline. And the thing about it is that I'm truly concerned because they're all up in age, you know, middle 80s and such.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we don't have to call an ambulance tomorrow. Because the odds are really good that someone's going to get sick tomorrow.
Well, I guess it all depends on what you're feeding them.
That's the problem. I'm cooking.
Oh, no.
That is the problem. That is the problem. You know, I have this...
If you've got a food processor handy, Frank, you can make sure that you cook them all nice steaks and make them into slushies.
There you go, and not bother cooking them.
Easier to digest.
Easier both ways. I kid. I am so blessed at this time to have all the generations of our family showing up tomorrow. Not everybody, but unfortunately the Americans couldn't make it. Unfortunately, of course, with the Americans, they keep wanting to travel with their guns. And in Canada, we sort of look at them a little bit. And mind you, though, we're starting to become more like Americans.
As long as they fill out the right paperwork, they're fine.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And there's that whole reading and writing thing that enters into it. So.
Yeah, so, you know, like, when family gets together, tell me about when your family gets together. Are you of the biggish family type-ish?
Well, no. To be honest, we're all we're a relatively small family. For the most part, it's my mother, my father, my brother, my nephew Billy, his girlfriend, my brother's girlfriend Mandy, me and Michelle. My grandmother and my aunts are usually that's pretty much the extent of it. We see the other relatives occasionally. They all profess to be Christian, but we never really run into them except on the big Buddhist holidays and traditional Chinese things. So, you know, it's sort of up in the air there. But with all the family in one place, we're looking at about 35 or 40 people.
That's all we have.
Yeah.
We don't have a big family either.
Yeah, it's a medium-sized family, you know, but, I mean, for the most part, it's 10 to a dozen people. So, I mean, we've taken to Christmases lately because the other relatives can't be bothered to get off their butts and do something. And the last time one of my aunts hosted Christmas, she brought in a 22-pound smoked turkey instead of cooking one. So that was the last time she hosted.
A smoked turkey? What's a smoked turkey?
Well, you know how you can get smoked ham?
Okay,
S-M-O-K-E-D, smoked a 22-pound turkey and served it cold.
Oh, I get it. So turkey a la doobie.
Exactly. It was a rather interesting experience, to say the least.
Can you clean those for me? Aaron, and this is something I shouldn't admit, but do you know I forgot the show was on?
Did you?
Yeah, because I didn't even look at my phone. I didn't even look at my phone today, at all.
Oh, you've been setting up and everything like that for the big do. Oh. I don't blame you.
No, I really don't know why it is that we are as people. I spoke over the fence in my backyard. I got Sue in the backyard there, and she's got her power washer going. I got my power washer going, and we're looking at each other, and I said, Sue, what are we doing? She goes, I know, Frank. I got two people coming over, and I'm cleaning the house like there's 40 people coming. I said, I got 30 people coming, and I'm cleaning the house like you have two people coming over. And you know, what is it about us as human beings that feel so sensitive about what we look like when family comes over? We're not even talking strangers here. We're talking family.
No, I mean, when you really think about it, the people that you're going to be seeing are people that have seen you at your best, and they've also seen you at your worst.
I don't know if
you know, like,
I don't know if that's true, Aaron.
Well, I mean,
I've never been at my best, especially around family. Especially around family.
No, I'm pretty sure they did see you at your best on your wedding day, Frank, unless you were hungover at the church.
Well, is hungover like bent over?
Hungover as in my bachelor party the night before. We barely made it to the church on time. I'm pretty sure they've seen you at your best.
Well, you know what? They probably have. But when it comes to family, you never think so, is the point I guess I was trying to make.
No, I can appreciate that point most definitely. I mean,
so, you know, so the Casa Stanishi here has been under or over, it's gone through changes the past month. And it seems that the more changes you make, the more changes you need to make. Why is that?
I call this the new paint theory. If your significant other ever wants you to paint a room, you know you're in trouble because all of a sudden the curtains won't match. And if the curtains won't match the new wall paint, you have to get new curtains. Once you do that, you're going to look at the carpet, and the carpet's going to look drab compared to the walls and to the curtains, so you're going to have to either get new carpet or strip that out and get laminate. From there, the couch isn't going to match, so you're going to have to go out and get a new couch and new shelving units to go with it.
You really need to think about your words.
It's the cascade effect, let's put it that way. Because one little paint job will eventually lead to an entire new dining room set or an entire new floor. It's the way things work.
It sounds a lot like when you're in a bar thinking about picking up a woman and you wonder if her carpets match her drapes.
You know what? I've never really thought about that, Frank.
When you go to a bar, the first thing you think about is when you take a woman home, you're wondering what her place looks like.
This is true. I've always preferred nice hardwood floors myself.
Yeah, so you like it smooth then?
To take it as you will, Frank.
Myself, I'm a Berber carpet kind of guy.
What can you say?
Or a faux hawk or a mohawk, it don't really matter. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. It truly is amazing that you watch people, you know, in Home Depot or in other. I shouldn't be at. Well, maybe that's because that's where I've been recently. You see in those stores, and people are running around looking for stuff. You know, like, and everybody's freaking out. It's amazing how the different times of year, different types of business, go nuts. I mean, you know, the other version is malls at Christmas time.
Yes, this is true.
So right now, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say everybody does tend to get a little crazy about these sorts of things.
Absolutely. So can I discuss a major disappointment with you?
Sure, by all means.
Okay, so I've taken up this nasty habit of smoking little tiny cigars, and that's not a. It's not a euphemism. I mean, really tiny cigars.
Cigar.
Yes, and they come from, I don't know, Russia or something. Anyway,
you're smoking Russian cigarillos.
Something like they're little stubby. They're little stubby little cigars. They look like that band, the Doobie Brothers. You know, and that's the habit I've picked up lately, and I guess it's because of the stress I'm under. And today I went to the gas station, you know, after being to other stores where they don't sell the ones that I like. You know, they're tiny. They, you know, about 2-3 minutes, I'm done. You know, that's all I want. And all I could find today, I went to all these stores, and finally went back to the gas station I usually go to, and he didn't have any. And all of a sudden I'm saying to myself, this is starting to feel a lot like smoking tobacco again, which, of course, I'm doing. And so I asked myself, I said, self, are you listening? And I said to myself, I said, dude, they don't have any cigars, the ones you like. Do you really have to change the ones you're going to have? So now I have to make a a choice. Do I get the cigars that they have that I don't really want, or do I just not bother? So I opted for the not bother option, and so now I am without cigar. So right now, all I can think about it, all I can think about, Aaron, is having a cigar.
It's funny how quickly these things that you think aren't going to become habit-forming do become habit-forming. I've heard it said that smoking cigarettes quitting cigarettes is almost as hard as quitting heroin.
Well, I haven't done heroin.
The whole heroin part, so.
I haven't done heroin, so I wouldn't know. So I call the program today WTF. Welcome to Friday. Listen to my wife. Welcome to Friday. Not quite what I had in mind. That answer, that comment ushers WTF out of my mouth right now. What makes you say WTF?
There's a lot that can make me say WTF. I'm going to try to keep away from the official version of it just because, you know, I don't know if there are children listening or not. But I think moments of sheer stupidity will usually make me go WTF. Like a person who will make a lane change, you know, three across without a signal in the middle of traffic. Oh,
can you do it with a signal?
No, without a signal. That makes me go WTF.
But is it okay to do it with a signal?
I still wonder at your intelligence if you're jamming yourself over three lanes even with a signal. That would still make me go WTF. Oh, you know what else makes me go WTF? Rob Ford. Thank you, Michelle. Rob Ford definitely makes me go WTF. Did you hear about his fishing trip this afternoon?
Oh, no. What happened this afternoon?
Well, he was out on Lake Ontario off of Port Credit with Hazel McCallion and Bill Blair Julian Fantino, and a few other people taking part in a fishing derby. And Hazel managed to land a 20-pounder. But before she landed it, it started to pull her off the boat, so Rob Ford grabbed her to keep her from going in the water.
He's a hero.
Ish.
And an anchor.
I was going to say more of an anchor or dead weight than a hero. But he thought it was kind of awesome. Here's a 92-year-old mayor of Mississauga catching a 20-pound fish.
And a 50-year-old Toronto mayor catching a 90-year-old Mississauga mayor. That must have been a sight.
He's only 44 years old.
Oh, he looks like he's 50.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of hard living. That's a lot of moon pies and Twinkies and burgers and what have you. He's only 44. Sorry.
And a little too much flavor of the Danforth.
Yeah, well, that's a little story entirely.
You know,
I'm loving the fact that his brothers and him are calling out media while they're on the radio. Does anybody else see the irony in this?
I do. I think it's very ironic. And you know, when he puts a drink on, he reminds me of W.C. Fields.
Because
his nose and his cheeks turn red. I don't really see anything wrong with him. I don't really see anything wrong with him getting a little tipsy while partying. You know, I mean, if you've been what he's been through, the fact that he's not doing heroin is a show of restraint, in my opinion.
I don't know. I mean, the problem is public officials are held to a different behavioral standard than us normal folk. And even if you try to put yourself through to put yourself off as a regular guy, you know what? As the mayor of Toronto, you should.
Aaron, you're going to make me say WTF right now.
I'm not defending him. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, you know, the mayor of Mississauga you referred to earlier, when she lands a 20-pounder, it isn't always fish.
This is true.
you know. But we like her. So we don't hold it against her. Which,
well, when was the last time she was drunk in public, though, Frank? Do you remember?
No comment.
Frankly, I don't.
No comment.
We don't remember. Hold on. Let me rephrase that. I don't remember seeing Hazel McCallion visibly impaired.
No comment.
She may have been impaired, but I never.
No comment. No comment. No comment. Dude, the point I'm trying to make is this, and it's a very simple point. I don't like Rob Ford. I don't like him. But I also, even when I don't like somebody, I find it very difficult to use a different set of guidelines for them than I would for others. So to make a long story short here, Aaron, the media picks on who they think are an easy target. And Rob Ford appears to be an easy target. They won't go after McCallion if McCallion has a couple too many. And she's been known to have the odd drink here or there. You know, she's not a teetotaler. She's not a teetotaler. Doesn't have a reputation as a teetotaler. So, you know, I mean, and I don't hold, and be clear, I mean, while I'm saying I don't hold it against Rob Ford, needless to say, I don't hold it against Mayor McCallion either. The bottom line should be, what do they do during office hours? Not what they do at night or when they're, you know, chillaxing. But I get your point about their politicians and they have to have a higher standard. Well, got bad news for you. WTF, higher standard? Politicians? Higher standard? Come on.
Sure. You want to hear of an exemplary mayor who holds himself to a higher standard? Think of Nenshi in Calgary.
Yeah. You know,
holds himself to a higher standard.
Yeah, I won't argue that point with you. You know, he's the, and for those who are listening, the three of you that are listening, he is the mayor of Calgary that did not sleep for the first 24 hours or 36 hours or something like that. After the disaster, how many?
43 straight hours.
Oh, okay, 43.
There was a hashtag on Twitter that was trending for him. It was nap time for Nenshi. He took two different press conferences and helped out at a couple different disaster stations before finally going to bed almost 2 days after the crisis began.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. That's a mayor who cares, but. Still, you know, again, happy that he did it, but he should be careful. We don't want mayors putting themselves in harm's way health-wise because short-term gain for long-term pain, not a good idea.
This is true, but then that should also apply to their other behaviors as well.
No, you know what? I'm not going to argue that point with you for a second. It is what it is, and... you know what that was?
What was that?
Did you hear it?
I heard a noise.
Yes.
Ha ha.
That was my wife serving me a cold pop.
Ah, very nice. A beverage.
Yes. A Rob Ford special. What's his drink anyway? What does he drink? Is it beer?
Apparently, yes. He was now, the funny thing is the people that were reporting about this, quote-unquote, wasn't the media. A lot of the people that were reporting on him were just ordinary citizens whose cell phone videos went viral. I'm reasonably certain the Toronto Star and the Sun would have pretty much left it alone. But there were just so many videos of him out there, apparently staggering around and slurring his speech, etc., that they finally had to do something about it.
Well, you know, I think since we're talking Rob Ford, I really don't have anything else to say. I mean, he's a cartoon character, really.
He's a caricature of a public official, I think, is what it boils down to.
And that's why he's such an easy target. But he claims to be doing a great job for Toronto.
What I love is his claim that he's erased the deficit in Toronto. Do you know why I love that, Frank? Because by law, Toronto's not allowed to run a deficit. So this, him claiming, oh, there isn't a deficit, I erased the deficit, it's not a big deal. Toronto can't run one legally.
So there you go.
Huh?
It's not a question of him not telling the truth. He's telling the truth.
He just doesn't know what WTF he's talking about.
And that would be a politician's go-to move.
I think so.
Why are we picking on politicians?
Because it's easy.
It's way too easy. One of the other things that makes me say WTF is watching television and seeing so many channels and not really finding anything worth watching. I find that way too often. You know, there's 400 channels and it seems there's nothing worth watching.
What was that original song, 57 channels and nothing's on?
Well, there's like 400 now, 500. Even your basic cable's 97.
Oh, jeez. On a brighter note, Eastlink out on the East Coast, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, they're pioneering a new program this month whereby you pay a certain amount for quote-unquote basic cable, and they no longer sell you theme packages. You can pick which channels you want. Up to 6 channels for $2.50 a month. You can pick up to 20 channels for $1.25 a month, and up to 30 channels, I think, for 75 cents a month.
That's per channel.
So you can tailor what you want, though. I mean, you get the basic stuff, right? You'll get like CBC and TSN and CNN and what have you. But then, if you want to add, say, Spike and Action Television and Diva Television and Showcase and HBO and Fox Canada and BBC, you can add those. But you don't have to take like Outdoor Life and the Home Shopping Network and you know, all those other channels that you don't necessarily want.
Yeah, I'm a female network driven by men.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's great for me. I mean, my only regret is that there's a couple channels that I'd like to see that just aren't available.
I tend to agree. And as far as television is concerned, it's becoming, I don't know. In this day, television is catching up to the movies. I mean, when I speak to that, I'm not speaking, glowingly of all the channels and all the shows. But there are a lot of shows that peek through television and really do, have the sense of a movie, and they're done that well. They're just so rare.
And sets and costume and writing, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah. I'm talking what makes a movie, and that is great acting, great story, and, you know, scenery that sells, and when you think about it, it's just really like good, the writing mostly, because movies have by far a better, they hone what they're doing, whereas television, as a rule, has to produce something this week. It doesn't matter how good it is; they just got to produce something this week, and that's what makes that's what makes TV shows that are good. That special in my mind.
Well, and one of the prime examples of that, there's a television show in it that's got Hugh Dancy, Mads Mikkelsen, Scott Thompson, Lawrence Fishburne. One of the writers is the same guy that wrote Pushing Daisies.
Yep.
You know what show I'm talking about, right?
I right.
Some of the, You get some of the greatest guest actors. They had Eddie Izzard on the show. They had Damore Barnes. It's just the level of writing. The level of writing for that show and the quality that goes into it is just absolutely astounding.
I need a second. I'm gonna take a break. I really did come from, believe it or not, I came from painting my deck, power washing part of the driveway, and I still have the same clothes on that I had to do that because I really did forget that the show was on.
Well, if you need to
change. My wife, no, I don't need to go change. My wife is sounding like a hero. She goes, I told you you were missing your show. After it started, she told me. She tells me, oh, you told me at 9:53? Okay. Anyway, no, I was just going to play something. I was just going to play a commercial. Not a commercial, just a piece. And I'm just wondering what piece I should play. I'm saying the same thing. No, I don't do that one. No. Hey, maybe I'll play some music. I don't see any. I don't see anything I like.
Chicken ears.
The chicken ears.
Jimmy Fallon.
Got any Jimmy Fallon?
No, I don't. Don't tell me you watch Jimmy Fallon.
Occasionally, I do. I watched his JT week. That was priceless.
You know, he's a geek. And he's a pretty good entertainer. He's a variety guy all by himself.
Well, hearing him sing as Neil Young was impressive.
Wasn't it? Well, have you heard him? He's done David Bowie. He's done what's his name? The Doors.
Jim Morrison.
He's done Jim Morrison. He's done Justin Bieber.
Although I have to admit, what I really love is his History of Rap segments that he does with Justin Timberlake.
Oh, you know what? When Timberlake comes on, those two have a lot of fun. Those two have a lot of fun. And just as much, Timberlake has fun on Saturday Night Live. He's an amazing talent.
He's a five-timer now.
Yes, he is. Okay, you know what? I'm going to give you some head. Tragically Hip, ahead of by a century.
Nice.
To our thoughts.
Yes, that was the Tragically Hip, and that was Ahead by a Century. By the way, I just went upstairs, and earlier yesterday I put on my Jimmy Fallon shirt, and because we went to New York one day, and while in New York, my kids and my wife, and as a family, we all love Jimmy Fallon. So we had to go to the NBC store at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, and we made some purchases, and I got my F off shirt. It's got me in trouble a few times. Well, because, you know, I wear it to pick up my kids at school. And I keep forgetting that. And when I say F off, it's E-F-F-O-F-F. So, you know, it's not something. And of course, my daughter, Laura, bought the Screamin' Monkey. You know what the Screamin' Monkey is?
I knew. I don't recall.
Okay. See, I can tell how long. This is the nice thing about being a Jimmy Fallon fan. I can tell how long a fan you have been of Jimmy Fallon. It's been like a year. because a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, when he was just starting out, he used to have this thing where he had, oh, my daughter has it. My daughter brought it down. So it's a monkey. It's a monkey, and it has an elastic, and he would shoot them into the crowd, and they scream. Shake it? Huh? Shake it hard.
Nice.
And this monkey is like a slingshot.
I remember them, Frank.
There you go. And that's the noise it makes. So my daughter just thought, I gotta get one, because we see the beauty of cable television and the advent of I used to record a show with a VCR. I'd give you start dating how long we've been watching them. But, you know, now with, PVRs and stuff, you can, you know, it tells you what it is and all that kind of stuff. And we watch him record it and, you know, zoom through the commercials and all that kind of stuff. And also now it's become a real hybrid. We pick the programs where we like the guests because he's always funny. And I always like his notes on Fridays.
Yeah.
His thank you notes. Yeah, and he's your kind of guy because he is a game-aholic.
Oh, he totally is. I think that's one of the things that makes him appealing is he crosses so many demographic groups. I mean, he gets gamers, he gets musicians, he gets comedians,
beer
variety
drinks.
Performers. Yeah, his now fathers, just had a kid.
And now fathers, yeah. And now did you see how did he slip that by anyway? Nobody knew his wife was pregnant.
No, it was through a surrogate.
Oh, my wife just said that. Oh, it's through a surrogate.
Yeah, because they've been trying for about 5 years for a kid. So,
was it a Jimmy Fallon and wife seed and garden, or was it a totally?
Well, he hasn't exactly been open about it, and I'm not one to poke. I mean, as far
apparently,
as I'm concerned...
Apparently, neither is he. Apparently, neither is he. Yeah. No, you know what? Yeah, it is... His wife is older than him, and she's partners with Drew Barrymore.
Oh, yeah.
They own the same production company.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore is, Jimmy Fallon is, moving on to, moving up to
the Tonight Show.
He's going to be doing the Tonight Show in September, which to me is going to be interesting.
Well, I mean, he's going up against Letterman. And Conan, I mean, Conan is always facing off against Craig Ferguson, and who else? I mean, who's replacing Jimmy Fallon? Right? I mean,
I can tell you who it is. I can tell you who it is. You don't know who's replacing Jimmy Fallon?
No, I honestly don't. I haven't been following it that closely.
I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
You ready for the weekend update?
Really?
Yep.
Something's taking over his show?
Yep.
Well, that makes sense now, because, I mean, everybody knew Seth was leaving Saturday Night Live.
Well,
now it all makes sense. I didn't think they were going to plug in another SNL alum. That's really awesome.
Actually, it all goes to the Canadian. What's his name? Mr. Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
Lorne Michaels. Yeah.
Lorne Michaels is now producing The Tonight Show.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense now. It's all starting to fall into place like Tetris blocks.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's all, you know, well, you know, Jimmy Fallon is probably drawing bigger numbers than Jay Leno. And at a later hour. And it's the perfect opportunity for NBC because, you know, as much as David Letterman is funny and people love him, he's getting old.
This is true, but then who goes in to replace Letterman then?
Well, you know...
I mean, who's Jimmy Kimmel to do that?
Well, Jimmy Kimmel's at ABC.
Well, yeah, he'd have to network hop, but, you know, it's possible.
Well, it's happened before.
Exactly.
It'll happen again. Jimmy Kimmel's funny. I haven't really watched Jimmy Kimmel, but I've seen some stuff that he's done, and he is funny.
Actually, my favorite segment on Kimmel's show is celebrities reading mean tweets. he gets celebrities to read mean tweets about them from other people. It's absolutely brilliant.
And you know, my era was the Johnny Carson show. And he was special. And late night television went through a dry spell, but I think now with Jimmy Fallon moving, it's going to be interesting. Because if I'm not mistaken, Letterman had the college crowd. Wasn't that always his crowd?
Yeah, he's always had the younger group. Even though he's been the older entertainer, he's always had the younger folk.
Hasn't he? Absolutely.
Yep. Leno's younger than Letterman, but he's drawing the older crowd. Go figure. Jimmy Fallon kind of crosses all of them, so that's, you know.
Yeah, I think you know, Fallon has something that you know, that will run, and as long as NBC doesn't ruin it, because you know NBC.
Sorry,
you know,
I didn't mean to keep you up there, Frank, but Jimmy's actually got talent. Leno,
I was going to say NBC not big on comedy. NBC, yeah. No, baby, can't do it. They are a network that exists only because I guess there has to be three networks. But you know, NBC comes up with some shows, and they have a history of this, and I find it very frustrating, and it's another WTF. NBC comes up with great programs and then kills them. And you wonder who the heck is, you know, like, WTF to that idea, you know?
Yeah,
Scrubs.
They have great shows, you know?
Look at Scrubs. They killed it over and over again, and it kept coming back. Star Trek. NBC killed it the first year. No, we don't like this. We don't think it's going to go anywhere. And the fans got it back. And we all, I mean, as they say, you know, the rest is history. And Star Trek has a very long and diverse history, amazingly.
Now, you were talking about the new series, right?
The what?
The original series that only ran for three seasons before it got killed off?
Yeah, but it ran, no, they tried killing it off the first season.
Yep, no, that is true, they did. Then it was the same thing with Scrubs. They wanted to kill that off after the first season, which
and
is
it
why.
Die.
When they introduced the character of the janitor, the only person that could actually talk to him was JD in the first season, because they weren't 100% sure if it was going to be able to go anywhere. So they wanted to keep the janitor as a figment of his imagination. You know, they never actually wrote any lines for the janitor.
It was all ad lib.
It was all ad-libbed. Every single line he had was all ad-libbed because he was just a great improviser.
Oh, he has an edge to him, and he's basically the same character, a little tiny bit softer in the middle. Just a tiny bit soft. He's the same guy.
Do you remember Ted from Scrubs?
Oh God,
the lawyer.
Yes.
And his band, the Lucy's Peons.
Yes.
He actually has a barbershop quartet in real life.
Not hard to believe.
It was pretty awesome.
I put a link on
my Facebook page for some of their songs. There's like a 3-minute medley of them, and the Todd makes a guest appearance.
Well, the same thing, and they had some interesting, Scrubs did some interesting, they were pretty experimental.
Yeah.
the musical segments that they did, the one where the woman was imagining or the one they were bringing into the hospital. Oh God, that thing had me in hysterics. my daughter's favorite Scrubs thing is the one where, the one where basically it's, if you're a homophobe, they were talking about being gay. Guy love. Yeah.
My favorite was always Dr. Cox.
He was an SOB, wasn't he?
And his interactions with Gina.
Yep. And his wife, who character complete, is now was in Cougar Town, is the same exact woman. I mean, and then they brought all the people from Scrubs into Cougar Town.
Now, if memory serves correctly, though, Dr. Cox's wife was also in the Drew Carey show.
Yes, she was. She was Drew Carey's,
okay,
one of Drew Carey's girlfriends, no? No.
Girl-friends.
The two guys, not an actual girlfriend, but a girlfriend. But she was a girlfriend. And the two guys, the two idiots.
Yeah.
The two idiots. The beer makers.
Speaking of the two idiots, Ryan Stiles and the other dude.
That's right.
They're bringing back. They're bringing back Whose Line this year.
No. No, really.
With Colin Mochrie, Ryan Stiles, Wayne Brady, a different random celebrity guest, Brad Sherwood or Greg Proopst, and they got Aisha Tyler to host.
Oh my.
You can actually see if you go to WhoseLineOnline.org, you can actually catch some of the episodes.
Oh, no kidding.
And pretty funny stuff. Or is it WhoseLineOnline? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that Wayne Brady does The Price is Right.
Oh, he does?
No, sorry. Let's Make a Deal. Let's Make a Deal.
Okay.
Price is Right is Drew Carey.
That's right. He moved on to that.
Yeah.
Is he still doing Family Feud?
I don't know that. Family Feud was what's his name, the other black comedian.
Steve Harvey.
Yeah, and it was done out of Atlanta, and it seems like, oh God, some of the stuff that they ask.
Name a thing that gets passed around, a joint.
Exactly. That one went on YouTube like in a circle.
That was hilarious. Because a joint got more votes than a collection plate in church.
Number two was the collection plate.
I remember when
where they were asking this woman in 20 questions, say, name one thing on a man that's bigger now than when he was 16. She blurts out a penis. Steve Harvey nearly had a heart attack.
Oh, he's almost had a heart attack a few times.
She just stood there, and then she realized what she'd said, and she went beet red. It was awesome.
Well, that, you see, that's the trouble with that show, is it's a knee-jerk reaction.
Yep.
You know, you're under so much pressure to say the first thing that comes to mind, and then, unfortunately, people's minds are kind of, you know...
in the wrong places.
Totally. Michelle, let me ask you, what makes you say WTF?
I think there's a bit too much to choose from.
Well, go with one that pops into your head.
She's looking at me.
Okay. She follows you around, and all she says all day is, WTF, Aaron.
Well, like, occasionally there'll be Aaron has a way of thinking that's a bit random.
No,
and,
really?
And I know, it's hard to believe, but he'll just come out with something every once in a while, and it'll be a total WTF, and it's like, okay, start from the beginning. And I'll have to make him follow the trail back to his original thought. That's always fun.
It sounds like fun. Now, Michelle, tell me about your family get-togethers. What can you share with us about family and having them over? Do you go as crazy when you have them over as I have become?
Aaron's
laughing.
Yes. Well, I brought in a painter before my family came up, and
we already know what happens. And we know what happens after you bring the painter in.
he put up the tiles in the kitchen backsplash. I've had these tiles for 3 years and never got them up.
I was going to say, Michelle, how are the new soap dishes in the washroom?
That I didn't worry about.
Oh, there was something you didn't worry about. You stopped at the soap dishes.
Pretty much,
the jacuzzi,
yeah.
The jacuzzi and the jacuzzi tub and the glass wall shower were enough.
Okay, there was paint. There was a backsplash, and then there was a new shower curtain.
Well, we went into our kitchen a couple of months ago, and my wife said to me, she says, Frank, yes, I'd like a new backsplash. And I don't even want to tell you what happened after that. Suffice it to say, Aaron's paint principle does hold water. And,
what happened? Was it a new countertop?
Yes. New floor.
New cupboard.
No, actually, I got off lucky there.
It does tend to cascade, though. You know,
it always does, and this is why I make the crack about the honey-do list. You know, that's why men don't like doing the honey-do list, because to a woman who makes that list, she knows what she's doing. She's just baiting a hook. That's all she's doing. She's just baiting a hook. That's all she's doing. Like, you know.
I can hear your wife laughing in the background, Frank. Busted.
It's just baiting a hook. That's what women do. They just bait a hook, and they go, is the guy going to go for it or what? Oh, he went for it. I'm getting new cupboards. Oh, no, you're not.
my kitchen was I got my kitchen all redone a few years ago. Everything but the backsplash. I always intended to try and do it myself, but it always intimidated me. Like I said, I had the tile sitting there for almost 3 years.
Oh, my.
And you know Aaron well enough to know not to ask him to do it.
Woo!
Not unless it can happen with a Game Boy.
or they're peeling stick or something.
Yeah. If he can use a thumb and a forefinger to do it, he might be able to do it.
Maybe. well, that's the level of your expertise as well, so I can't say anything.
Well, my problem, you see, Michelle, is that I actually know how to do that stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry. This is why we don't start stuff, because, you know, in my culture, Italians say a shoemaker always goes around with holes in his shoes. There's a reason for that.
He never has time to fix his own.
That's right, because he doesn't want to do what he does all day at home. Right? I mean,
yep.
You know, that's just life, right? So, yeah, no, you know, I my background is construction. My background is telling people, or at least looking at drawings and making sure that people do what they're supposed to do. I'm a site manager, so I understand what needs to be done. And I became one from being a handyman, if you will, a cabinet maker, to doing all kinds of other stuff, and that's how I became that. So when I do stuff around the house, I am my own worst enemy. I can understand why people don't like working under me. So, you know, it's tough. You know, it's tough when you look at your home and you make these decisions. And I admire these people. There are people in this world who do stuff, and it just happens, you know. For the rest of us, it's a struggle. We don't know where to start. We don't know where to end. We're afraid to start because we don't think it'll end. And so it becomes something really difficult. And it makes me say WTF. But, you know, the kitchen now looks better than it ever has. It's complete, if you will. There were a few hanging chads here and there for years. And, you know, so basically, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, let's face it. We all take pride in what we have, which is why we, you know, protect it and fawn over it as much as we do.
This is true. I mean, there's a certain pride in place. There's a certain satisfaction that you get out of making things with your hands, which I guess is one of the reasons why I like IKEA furniture. Because I'm never going to be a carpenter, I'm never going to be a mason, but I can work an Allen key like nobody's business.
And an instruction manual.
No, yeah, I can read. You know, that's one of the advantages of a higher education.
Well, and one of the advantages of not being a construction worker. Oh, ouch.
No, I wouldn't be able to do something like that. And, I mean, for my brother, because my brother put in new floors, new tiles, re-hung the cupboards, repainted, did his walls, everything in his new house that he bought. You know, I mean, the most I'm able to do is stand there and move stuff around for him and carry stuff out to the garage and maybe throw some paint on the walls. Though we did have a lot of fun putting in the new subfloor from tiles. But, I mean, that's, you know, pretty much the extent of my handyman skills.
Oh, you put a subfloor in?
He put in 2/4-inch layers of subfloor before he put the tiles down just to relevel it.
Why 2 layers of 1/4-inch?
Apparently, that was the way it was supposed to be done, according to the experts at Rona.
But I don't understand why 2. Why wasn't 1 enough?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. I mean, the building itself is approximately 40 years old. The original subfloor that we took out of there was lino, you know, and once we got that up in solid condition, we realized we had to relevel it. And my brother said, well, you know, I'm putting down these 330-millimeter tiles. And the guy said, well, you know, if you're doing that in the kitchen, you're going to want to put in 2 layers of 1/4-inch instead of just 1.
So repeat that, because of?
He said because of the size and the weight of the tiles that you're putting in, you're going to want to put in 2 layers of this one.
Why didn't they say mesh?
Not 100% sure. I mean, my brother decided to go with ceramic tiles for the kitchen floor.
Yeah, and how big?
330 mil by 330 mil. So we're talking about 12 and a half, 13 inches.
Well, that's not that big.
No, but you know.
There must have been more to his issue with the floor.
I'm guessing there was, but I'm not 100% aware of it. So, but everything fit back together, and the floor apparently looks great.
Hello. Please leave a message after the tone.
John, you asked me to call you back. I'm calling you back. You're not answering the phone. What the heck? Or should I say WTF?
WTF, John.
Well played, sir.
He called me while, apparently he called me while I was outside. And when I say that, and this is unfortunately my problem, part of my condition, part of my condition is that I, once I start to do stuff, I become very intense about it. I'm not very good at partitioning my time, but I'm learning how to do it. I'm trying to learn how to do it. It's part of the stupid.
Like to finish completely, yeah.
It's part of the stupid post-traumatic stress that I'm going through, and I'm afraid I don't understand it. It's just I can't relax and do more than one thing. I look forward to good old days when I used to do a sports show and work construction. I'm trying to learn how to do that again. And you see what happens is I start doing construction now and I forget about the sports show. And back 25 years ago when I did it, it was easy to remember and to switch gears. I have difficulty switching gears. It's very difficult. I tend to focus too heavily. But that's neither here or there. We're working on it. And I'm a work in progress. And at some point I want to get back to being a normal person again. But unfortunately, for now, I'm an idiot, and I'm going to maintain being an idiot until I figure it out. It doesn't make me much different than many other people, really, when you think about it.
No, that's neither here or there.
So we were talking about Jimmy Fallon and how wonderful a comedian he is, and nighttime television. What do you think of daytime television?
Seeing as I'm regularly employed, I don't watch a lot of it, but I gather it hasn't changed all that much.
Well,
yeah, unless you refer to like the 24-hour news cycle and the repeats during the day, or if you're referring to daytime soaps.
No, I was referring to what the heck is my wife doing? Okay, that's fine. As long as the screens aren't open. She's watering the windows. Daytime television, as in breakfast television, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, it's all talking heads these days, isn't it? On breakfast television and CDTV breakfast and News 22, CP24, and all of that. I mean, it's all pretty much the same format.
Yeah, and they're all trying to be funny. And they're all trying to be funny.
And they're usually not. I mean, one of the things that annoyed me the most about Much Music in the early days was Steve Anthony trying to be funny while VJing. And now he's doing exactly the same thing on City TV's Breakfast. And it's just annoying. You know?
Kind of like your parents trying to get.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. See, he's my age.
I used to wear sunglasses while I was on TV and everything like that, and you know, it's linguistic abuse, I think, is what he performs every morning. It's horrible.
Well, you know, you've got Ann Rohmer out there too, another retread.
This is true. And you've got
I like them. I like
George
Ann Rohmer. Yes, but I like Dan Romer's dad better. But that's neither here nor there as well. So, as far as daytime television is concerned, I hate it.
Yeah, it's not a bright spot for me either. Put it that way.
It's television like, God, people are going to hate me for saying this, but it's like an assembly line at the GM plant. You know, it's the same thing over and over. It's drone. It's drone. Drone. I don't know how people can watch it for more than 15 minutes at a time.
Well, I think that's basically the way it's designed to be done because, I mean, their news cycle seems to be about 15 to 20 minutes. It's the same stuff recycled over and over and over again. It's for those individuals that wake up, have a quick cup of coffee in front of the television set, and then take off.
That's why I asked. And that's why I was surprised when you said that I work and I don't. Anyway. All right. So that's TV.
Well, when you say full time, I usually think noon. You know,
yeah,
general hospital.
Yeah, well, forget that. Forget that stuff. Forget that stuff. I used to watch all my children, please.
City line.
Okay, so television, we agree, has its good moments and its bad moments.
Mm-hmm.
We've got about 51 minutes left if I go the complete 2 hours. So now the question is, what can we do for another 51 minutes?
Well, let's see.
I'm really concerned. I don't know what we can do. I know what we can do right now.
Go for it.
And because I always love hearing this.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show.
Yay! Go Frank!
There you go, Frank.
It's hard. It's hard not to like that.
Well, you certainly can't complain when you get them gathered around your mic all speaking into it at the same time, right?
And you know that wasn't planned. That really wasn't.
Well, you got that at one of their open practices, correct, down at varsity?
Yeah. It was actually the mock game.
The blue and white game. Oh,
yep.
So that would have been Ernest Mugger then.
Yep.
Cool.
It was cool. It was fun, to be honest with you. Oh, hey,
well,
here we go. I mean, here, I'll play the I promised I wouldn't play this commercial anymore because I'm pissed at the Argos because they were supposed to send me the new commercial. This is
the following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Now, that's the commercial, and these guys here are a little musical interlude. Argonauts. Awesome. That's just awesome. Here, how about this? Elvis. Are you ready for this, Aaron?
Yep.
Being the good Christian that you are, here's Elvis Presley doing the Lord's Prayer.
In peace and not be disturbed by the government. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that gets me is a lot of people say that America is founded as a Christian nation.
Which it was.
In the Treaty of Tripoli. And I'm pretty sure you've heard this argument before, Michael.
Yep.
The Treaty of Tripoli, it expressly states, and John Adams stated this, that America is not in any sense a Christian nation.
Right, okay. Now, let me, they had to state that just because they didn't want to give the idea that we were somehow the state-authorized religion or state, because, you know, we had to have the freedom of religion. That was the key fundamental thing that they wanted to imply. But what that did, what he did mean by that statement was that we are not founded upon Christianity itself. I mean, the very Constitution, our laws, they're directly influenced by the Judeo-Christian worldview. That's a fact. I mean, you can't deny that. Anybody who studies U.S. law, you can see that. But what I'm bothered by, and I agreed with everything you said so far as the state imposing or, you know, forcing people who otherwise don't believe in it to take part in something that they didn't want to take part in, that's absolutely correct. What the secularists do, though, is they take it another level further, where they say to the point where anyone who steps out and shows some type of a religious act in a public square, and it's always against Christianity. That's one thing I've always noticed. I've always seen them accepting of Muslims, you know, Baha'i, Buddhists, Hindus, whatever. If they want to have a public display of their religious faith in a public square, there's almost no complaints, never. It's always targeted at Christians. I don't know if it's because of the majority or whatever it may be, but they go to the point where they try to make it like we should try to exclude it altogether and then impose the secular atheist worldview on all of us, even though in America they only reflect 12% of the population. That's the part I don't understand. Now, we've allowed the secular atheist view to become the predominant one, even though they're not the majority. And that's the part in the Christian to me irks me, because now we're trying to act like all of a sudden that, number one, there was no Christian influence in the beginning of this country. Number two, that somehow Christianity is a negative thing. That's the thing that takes it further. Because there's no sane, right-minded human being can sit down, look at the teachings of Christ, and say with a straight face to another human being, this is a negative thing that would have a negative effect on our society. There's no one. No one can do that. Jesus taught the highest level of...
It's a Muslim faith to say that either. You can't look at people around and you can't say that. I mean,
because Muhammad advocated for pedophilia, sexual perversion, beyond anything. He insisted on legal prostitution, which they called temporary marriages. Jesus never advocated for anything that could be slightly construed as perverted, twisted, or evil. There's nothing. The man taught nothing more than love your neighbor as yourself, turn the other cheek, be the last, seek to serve others, put others' needs.
Okay.
Well,
now,
there was a blast a couple weeks ago.
Now, I don't know, Aaron, and this I say this with total honesty and sincerity. I don't know how the hell that happened. I was trying to download Elvis's Lord's Prayer while you guys were having a debate. Little did I know, it not only did I download Elvis's Lord's Prayer, you guys were talking over it. So I can't even listen to this great song without you guys doing your thing.
In my defense, he was doing most of the talking.
In his defense, you sounded like you were ready to take the opposite view. All kidding aside, I just played that because I thought it was funny that when I downloaded it, it was totally one of those random things that wasn't planned, and it just worked out that way. You know, religion is a polarizing thing, and you know, I find religion sometimes a great vehicle for people's abuse in many different ways. And now in Egypt we have hundreds of people dying and nearing a thousand now. Last time I looked, it was and that was like what time is it? About 14 hours ago. They were up to what? 650 or 850 people killed. 650 people killed. You know, and it isn't. This isn't an overt religious battle. But worse than that, it's a political view or a political battle based on religious beliefs, and that I find just as disconcerting as anything else is that people are dying because of their beliefs. I don't know what to say to something like that, and it's horrifying.
Well, it's a situation you hope never to see in your lifetime, but unfortunately, in these days, it's becoming more and more of a reality. Religion is steadily being pushed more and more towards the forefront, and as an inevitable result of that, you are going to have a mixing of religion and politics, despite best intentions. The unfortunate thing is, yes, it is polarizing, and it does tend to be counterproductive. But I mean, what else are you going to do, really? I mean, it's a creep. You know, it creeps in every election cycle. It creeps in every election cycle. The political center in America keeps getting jacked further and further to the right. The political center in Canada has been jacked further and further to the right. I mean, the Prime Minister of Canada used to belong to almost a neo-Nazi group, an ultra-conservative group. He used to be a reform MP. You know, the conservatives of today, you'll notice the Conservative Party of Canada is no longer the Progressive Conservative Party of Canada. They've dropped the Progressive part. And sadly, it's to the detriment of Canada, in my opinion, that's been lost. You look at some of the legislation that's been proposed and some of the cabinet ministers and what they'd like to talk about, and you do see religious creep in Canadian politics, which is, you know, not something you necessarily want to see, but unfortunately seems to be a necessary evil.
I heard a comment recently that the United States will never elect a president who's not religious. And was a thought that hadn't really occurred to me, but I think is pretty much dead on. And it's such a factor in how people perceive their politicians, when religion should not be playing a part in politics, because you get the polarization that Aaron was talking about. It becomes more about the religion than what's right for the people and what's right legally, and it's more about, is this going to be against God or not? It's actually factor into a lot of decisions that are being made.
And what's ironic is that the fact that they're choosing more and more religious leaders is actually kind of in contravention to the spirit of the Constitution, in particular paragraph, I believe it's Section 6 of the First Amendment, wherein it states that there shall be no religious test to hold public office. And yet the thought of Obama being a secret Muslim is enough to throw half the country into a tizzy. You know?
Well, you know, here's when it comes to religion, I find it much easier and far more satisfying to keep my beliefs to myself. I'll share them when forced to. And in this case, I'll say I'm slightly feeling forced to. I just happen to think that the more people preach, the more they put themselves in a position where it's difficult to maintain what they're preaching. You know, because it's like I was saying about before, about saying that now I'm doing the work around the house, and as a site manager and as a guy who oversees people working, I can understand why I'm such an ass to work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because talking is so much easier than doing.
Oh, it's easy to talk a great
deal. And that's my problem with religion. There's a lot of talking, not so much practicing.
Oh, it's easy to say that you're a devout Christian, or it's easy to say you're a devout Jew, or you're a devout Hindu, or a devout whatever. Well, but you know, putting that into practice, putting the principles and the rules of your faith into practice on an everyday basis, is a lot more difficult than people would have you believe.
Absolutely.
It's a lot easier to couch everything in flowery language and then go ahead and do the opposite.
than it is to actually live up to the standards as set forth in your holy texts. So,
but the important thing, though, Aaron, is that we ignore the people who, you know, I go through fits and starts of going to church, I'll be honest. But sometimes I go to church and I look around and I talk to people and then I hear something, and it's just, to me, it sometimes seems as though people treat going to church like a job or a badge of credibility. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm saying it right. But anyway, that's, you know, pretty much what I'll say. You know, but you know what, the important thing is that, you know, we do the best we can to be the best we can. You know, I think that's what really matters. The rest is all pretense.
Well, it's all window dressing. I mean, in all honesty, I think church tends to, and this goes for pretty much any situation, you're always trying to put your best face forward. You know, that's why you have what's called your Sunday best. You wanna look more important and richer than the person next to you in the pew.
Jeez.
You know, that's always the way it seems to me.
Hmm?
You know, the freshly dressed suit, the freshly groomed hair, everybody's on their best behavior. Little kids are getting smacked for misbehaving and everything like that. But, you know, you're there to see how well the Johnsons are doing. Oh, look, Mrs. Wilkinson has a new bonnet this week. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, enough about religion.
All right.
I'm looking here at the Germans.
Okay.
And I'm looking at a post in Facebook. German solar power plants produced a world record 22 gigawatts of electricity per hour. Equal to 20 nuclear power stations at full capacity. Is Obama wrong?
No, not at all. With his investments in green companies, he put investments into 50 plus different environmental companies. I think it was the right thing to do. Solar power is definitely the way to go. I'm a big fan of it, put it that way. Because, you know what, it's cheap, it's readily available. Usually you'll get an excess. It doesn't have to be a hot day for solar power to work. You just have to have light.
Hmm. Is it that simple?
I mean, pretty much. I mean, they sell solar panels now that you can get for your boat that'll help you run your cell phone, your GPS, recharge your battery, and you know, power your radio. And it's a panel that's like 18 inches by 8 inches. I mean, it's possible for you to get a couple solar panels, well, not get a couple, but get a solar array, put some solar panels up on your roof and power your house.
Well, that's the next thing I want to do.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can see it as a good thing, you know, not being dependent on Ontario Hydro. Or Hydro One.
Or well, not being dependent, I think, is the key word.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've already designed the house in my head.
I mean, when you really think about it, there's enough flat places, and the States gets enough sunshine that they wouldn't have to rely on nuclear power, and they wouldn't have to rely on gas or on oil or anything like that. It would be possible for America to take itself solar if they wanted to. Problem is, they don't seem to want to.
I think it's more or less if they're allowed to.
Now, what do you mean when you say allowed, though, friend?
Well, the economic streams are like a river. They don't change direction easily.
No, this is true. And when you have groups throwing billions and billions of dollars at government officials to try to restrict legislation for that sort of thing, then yeah, I can see it being very difficult to change. The problem is the sun doesn't have a good enough lobby group.
Well,
pretty much what it boils down to.
The American people.
Yep,
I'm no different than anybody else. The American people are no different than anybody else. Just there's more of them.
Well, there's approximately 340 million of them now.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. But the problem is policy isn't dictated by the 340 million people. Policy is dictated by a handful of individuals who have the majority of the money who can afford to influence politicians in Washington. That's the way it works.
Well, if poor people finally decide to vote, it could be okay. They could straighten things out.
You realize election participation in Canada last federal election was only 61%?
That's higher than I thought.
61% of people voted. Of those 61%, only 38% actually voted for the Conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 14 million votes that were out there to be had, there were 9.5 million people that voted. Like, that's
why?
Extremely disappointing. It's just, I guess they just don't care enough. You know, and you end up with a conservative majority, when in reality only approximately 24% of the Canadian population, of the, let me clarify, 24% of the available votes to be had went to elect a majority government. When you only get a quarter of the available votes and you still end up with a majority government, that indicates to me that something is either fundamentally flawed in our system or
mm-hmm.
you know, there needs to be something. I don't know, mandatory voting laws? I don't know if
no.
that's the way to go.
People would vote against it. What was that for an irony?
You think?
No, I'm just saying, that'd be ironic, wouldn't it? People voting against
Definitely.
Voting?
Well, hey, at least it'd get people off their asses.
I tell my daughters and their friends, vote NDP. And they say, why? This is because they care about you.
They do. They care about the young people. They care about they care about the unemployed. They care about low-wage workers.
Exactly. Even though
yeah,
I never vote NDP.
It's
I
funny,
said that.
You know, people call unions, people call the NDP and NDP supporters union thugs. If it weren't for these union thugs, you wouldn't have a 40-hour work week, there wouldn't be child labor laws, and you wouldn't have weekends off. Just putting that out there.
There's some truth to what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But, you know,
it's
whoever has the best propaganda machine that ends up winning elections. Though I do have to admit, I actually really like the way the Canadian election system works. I really am a fan of it, just based on the fact that you get a certain amount of money allocated to you depending on how well your party performs in the previous election.
Well, that's only fair.
Yeah, exactly. And
right?
You know what? I mean, there's a maximum that people can contribute. There's a maximum that companies can contribute, which means there isn't overt corporate influence in these sorts of things.
Well, the big thing is that the Liberal Party ended up not being able to be funded.
Exactly. Well, they dropped down to, what, 2 seats?
Exactly.
It's a bit of a problem for them, admittedly. But, I mean, they made a comeback. The NDP performed well. I mean, the fact that all of these, the three parties were as close as they were when it came to votes, means that the elections are going to be more fair now. Because they'll all receive a roughly equivalent amount of funding. I mean, as long as, you know, the Conservatives don't go and pull their whole In-N-Out scam again.
Their In-N-Out scam?
Yeah, you should Google that, Frank. You'd love it.
In-N-Out scam?
The In-N-Out scandal, yes. What they were doing was they were providing additional money for advertising to, what would happen is certain riding offices wouldn't use all of their budgets. So they would give the money back to the federal party for use for other things, which technically they're not supposed to be able to do. It was a rather interesting situation.
Hmm.
Yeah. here. Let me pull that up.
Uh-oh.
In and out scandal. There we go. We're going to go to Wiki. It was improper election spending. There we go. Involving the Conservative Party of Canada during the 2006 federal election. Basically, what happened with it was it was transfers of monies between different levels of organizations within a political party.
You want some too?
Elections Canada places strict limits on campaign budgets in order to provide an even playing field between the parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
They also directly fund political activities through per vote financing, which is, you know, what I talked about before. Basically, what happened with the in and out was the Conservative Party. The Conservative Party reached their spending limit pretty early on.
You
so what
think?
They did was they took money and they transferred it to 67 different riding offices that had not yet reached their own local campaign limits, you know, which were all around 80 grand a pop. The ridings would then return the money to the party, saying that it was being used to purchase advertising. So they then could, once they gave that $1.3 million to the provincial party, and the provincial party gave it back, they had a $1.3 million slush fund that they could then use to put out other ads.
Sounds like a kickback scheme to me.
I mean, that's pretty much what it was. The only difference was instead of paid for by the Federal Conservative Party of Canada, it was paid for by insert local riding company here.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know.
Was it illegal?
Yes, it is illegal. Under Elections Canada rules, it is illegal. However, in 2012, the charges were dropped as part of a plea deal in which the Conservative Party of Canada and its fundraising arm pleaded guilty to exceeding election spending limits and submitting fraudulent election records and repaying $230,000 for its role in violating the election spending laws.
And
so of the $1.3 million that they laundered through this in-and-out scheme, they had to pay back a sixth of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was all sorted out, though.
Well, it was all sorted out. I mean, it's still a stain on the Conservative Party, but ask their supporters that, and they forget all about it. And so they'll come back at you right away with, oh, what about Chrétien and his liberals?
You know, like, that stain on the Conservative Party.
Yeah.
Just makes their clothes look more like camouflage, you know, along with all the other stains.
Yeah. Well, you know. I mean, you want to talk about the scandals then for the Liberal Party? Let me just see.
Hey, stop. Hold on. No, go ahead.
You know, I was waiting.
No, listen. I don't mind admitting. I vote Liberal. I vote Liberal because I'm an immigrant.
It's conservatives who don't necessarily stand for change. I was at this. The Liberal version was ad scam. Or
sponsored. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You remember asking me, right?
That's a biggie.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. It wasn't nearly as big as the one for the conservatives, though. I mean, ad scam was something in the neighborhood of, geez. Sorry,
I don't know.
Looking through the data on it now.
All the cards and letters, please send them to Aaron.
Yeah, all the complaints about factual inaccuracies, send them my way, please. Don't give a hoot.
Aaron's opinions are strictly expressed by Aaron.
Exactly. No, I mean the Sponsorgate scandal is compared to what the conservatives have done. Small potatoes. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
Spoken like a true conservative.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Okay. Religion,
anyway.
Politics, television. What have we got left? The weather. This weekend's going to be nice.
It's unseasonably cool.
It's supposed to climb up to 27 tomorrow.
Which is still below seasonal averages, but I'll live with it.
Well, it's right on
seasonal. Is it right on seasonal? Really?
Yeah.
I have been corrected by my own in-house fact checker, Michelle. She has verified that 26, 27 degrees is actually the seasonal average. I'll take that.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a comfortable and great day tomorrow. Speaking of which, I'm actually going to be participating in a yard sale tomorrow from 8:30 in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Michelle, what's the address again?
198 Rexley Drive.
There we go, out in Scarberia.
Now, how long will that yard be for sale?
Well, the items on the yard will be for sale from 8:30 until 2. The actual yard itself, unfortunately, is not, as far as I'm aware, for sale yet.
Ah, okay.
But there's all sorts of neat stuff that's going to be going out there, like collectibles and bric-a-brac and some useful items. There's even a couple doggy life preservers. Zeke's a big swimmer, but he's outgrown his old life dogs, his old life vests. So those are on the block.
Oh. So you're selling some stuff too?
I don't unfortunately have anything there. There's not enough that I want to get rid of, to be honest. I'm a bit of a pack rat.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, but it is going to have to go at some point. So, you know, one of these days I'll be having a yard sale of my own, probably out in Mississauga.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's been a long day.
You need your rest before the circus arrives tomorrow, Frank.
Oh, yeah, the elephants are coming.
Now. That's not a nice way to talk about their weights.
No, they'll be bringing their trunks. Wait, I don't have a pool.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Michelle?
Yes?
Thank you for making a contribution tonight.
Not a problem.
All right, we're going to play another tune on the way out. This will be Jessica Ridley. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. We'll come back after this Jessica Ridley song.
All right.
Waiting for going to start your
Okay, closing comments for this week.
Sure, I have a couple more WTF things for you, Frank.
Okay, dokie.
Particularly instructions on a hair straightener that Michelle purchased. One of them was never use while asleep. Always, quote-unquote, unplug immediately after use. I don't know if you've ever bought a pack of toothpicks, but if you ever do, there are instructions on the side. The instructions say insert pointed end between food and tooth. Second instruction is wiggle. There's instructions that I saw on a pack of Chinese cooking knives. The instructions do actually say keep out of children.
Keep out of children.
Not keep out of the reach of children, but keep out of children.
Don't stick them in children.
Yeah, apparently.
Dogs, cats, okay. Children.
Yeah, not so much. But yeah, I mean, it's going on. You know, hair straightener, do not use while asleep. Yes, because, you know, I sleep straighten.
I got another WTF.
Go for it.
I got to know what Kijiji's all about.
Oh?
Yeah, last year we made a purchase of a trailer, pretty good price. And yesterday I went and picked up a basketball stand. Real expensive one. It's like $600, brand new. Problem with it was that the plexiglass backboard was broken. Good news is that we had the plexiglass at my dad's place. So for $50, I got myself a $600 basketball stand.
Off Kijiji?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. See, that's how through Kijiji is actually how I sold my four ferrets.
There you go. What were their names? Yeah. George, Paul, Ringo, and George? George, Paul, Ringo, and John?
No, they were actually named after lacrosse players. There was McCready, Sushi, Richie, and I can't remember the fourth. They were named after different Buffalo Bandits players. So one was named after Kerry Stasiewski, one was named after Pat McCready, one was named after Rich Kilgore, and I can't remember the fourth one.
Wasn't Rich Kilgore the NBC News guy at Buffalo?
Not the same Rich, I don't think. Because Richie and Darius were our brothers. Travis Kilgore used to play on the team as well. Basically, it was pretty much almost the entire Kilgore family.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. Oh, also, another WTF moment for you. Stone Cold Steve Austin today came out in favor of same-sex marriage.
What the?
Yeah, kind of figured it'd make you say that.
Well, that's the next best thing to, what's-his-name, giving up guns and hunting.
Nugent?
Detroit Express. Ted Nugent. That's too much.
Man.
Well, listen, Aaron, I'm about to fall asleep. I'm boring myself to death here.
I'm sorry, I'm not more interesting tonight, Frank.
No, it's not you, it's me. I'm boring myself to death.
Well,
and my wife was kind enough to make me some popcorn. So now I'm munched out. Now, and my big thing watching right now is the HBO show. Now, is it HBO? Homeland.
Oh, Homeland. I heard about that. Heard it was a really good show.
It's all right. It's all right.
I heard Claire Danes did a lot of crying.
Yeah. And a lot of nakedness.
Well, you know, that's to be expected. Actually, what's really interesting is that the lead character in that, the actor that plays St. Louis, was actually in a really good cop show that lasted 1.5 seasons called Life.
Yeah, well, I watched that show every episode.
I thought it was pretty good.
I liked his butler.
Yes, his butler was awesome.
his accountant butler. I loved that show. Disappointed when it went off the air.
Oh, very, very much so. But, you know, These things happen. Good shows don't last nearly as long as they should. Crap shows are still on the air, and you have no idea why.
Oh, we can find out why. I'm going to find out later, because I'm going to watch it after I have it put me to sleep.
Very nice. That's okay.
Absolutely.
I'll just watch the Blue Jays lose again.
They won today.
The Jays?
I think so.
I don't know. Yeah, there's a WTF moment for you right there. I know that the Canada was losing in the Junior World Series. They lost 10-2 to Taipei.
Yeah, that's to be expected.
Well, you know, I mean, not all Canadian baseball teams are bad.
And Taiwan has, like, what, 1.5 million people?
Something like that.
And they kick Canada's ass every year.
I guess their sports programs are a little different than ours.
They're baseball crazy. That's what that's all about.
I'm still waiting for Munenori Kawasaki to come back.
There you go. Well, he is. They called him back. They brought
okay.
him back. He's back.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to
yesterday,
send the guys to a couple of games and wear my Kawasaki jersey.
Yeah, yesterday I think they brought him back.
Did they? Excellent.
Yeah, they did. They made some strange moves, and one of the moves that they made because of the strange moves was bringing Kawasaki back.
Awesome.
There you go. Well, listen,
so
I'm going to call it a night.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, dude. We'll see you next week. Next week I won't be as
yeah,
tired.
Yeah, most definitely. So give me a call, and we'll make sure that we hang.
Yes, sir. And we'll be having an Argo Lifers thing over here at the estate.
Well, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to get John on next week. It'll be fun to talk to him again.
There you go. Talk to you later, buddy.
All right. Take it easy, Frank.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
All right. That's it for another week.